Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
For today's bedtime story, we're taking you deep into the heart of Ukraine's mountains, where a seemingly idyllic summer camp became the stage for a series of chilling events that defy explanation. Imagine being 18, fresh out of school, and landing your first job as a camp counselor. Sounds like the perfect summer gig, right? But for this protagonist, this innocent adventure quickly spiraled into a nightmare that would leave lasting scars. Now, what began with dismissible whispers of watchful eyes in the forest soon escalated into a terrifying ordeal that challenged the very fabric of reality. From mysterious figures appearing in the dead of night, to inexplicable phenomena that defied the laws of nature, this tale would make you question what truly lurks in the shadows of the wilderness. And as we unravel this haunting account, you'll find yourself on the edge of your seat, wondering, what ancient force did these young counselors unknowingly awaken, and at what cost? Prepare yourselves, listeners. This is not just a campfire story. It's a bone-chilling journey into the unknown that will leave you sleeping with the lights on. Stay tuned for the horrors of this Ukrainian summer camp. This is the most hardcore encounter I ever had. The story is approximately 10 to 12 years old, and it happened in Ukraine. When I was 18, just fresh out of school, I had a whole summer in front of me to do whatever I wanted before starting in university. And through our PE teacher, I got an offer to make some extra money during the summer. And of course, I happily agreed. The job was being a counselor at a children's camp for the summer. All I had to do was watch over them, do organizational tasks, hiking, you know the deal. It was my first job, and I was happy to make money for myself. Also, me being 18 and receiving the oldest group of 15 to 16-year-olds, there was a huge bonus to it. I was young enough to understand them, but old enough to be respected and listened to. Now, the first shift was mild. Not many things were happening, and we were getting used to the job and the kids. So the occasional, "I saw someone staring at us from the forest," complaining from the kids was taken not too seriously. We just thought they were having a hard time getting used to the territory, because most of them were city kids, and unlike us growing up in the region, They had no idea how active the forest gets during evening and nighttime. We thought they were scared of some animals that were coming too close to the territory. Now, about the territory itself, it was huge. When you entered through the gate, you could go left or right. On the right were the warehouse. At the end of the very territory, approximately 10 minutes walking. And also on the right was the canteen, where we were having our meals, and the football field. Nothing ever really happened on the right side. Or even if it did, we could never make it over there, for reasons I will say later. Now if you turn to the left after the entrance, you could see the buildings where we and the kids lived. And as you turned left, you immediately could see a building where the girls were. Then in the middle was the building for the really small groups, the under 8-year-olds. And on the end was the building for the boys. The three buildings formed a U-shape, with a little garden in the middle. So there's enough space to gather and organize the 150 kids in the morning for breakfast. If you would try to just walk forward from the entrance, after about 100 meters you would be met with a 2-meter fence and a dense mountain forest that goes up the hill. Now I know this is a lot to take in, but the locations are important to have a clear picture of the encounters. As I said, the first shift was mild, and we didn't really take the complaints from the kids very seriously. It was around that time that my friend would arrive to work with us for the second shift, when the new kids arrived. And this is when it all went to shit. And oh my god, I just want to scream just recounting this, because the memories are still sharp and bright. Anyway, this friend of mine was really into all things paranormal. I knew for sure his grandmother was a weird woman. She always knew when to stay calm, what people were going to do up front. Like she was told ahead of her interactions during the day. She seemed to always be ahead of people. And we were neighbors, by the way, so I remember her from small age up until I was around 15, 16. Unfortunately, she died later, sadly. So, this friend of mine probably was educated by his grandmother on how to use tarot cards. He was good. Like, damn good. I won't go into details, but he could tell quite a few things about people he just met and their family just by throwing a few tarot cards on the table. The day this friend of mine arrived and we used the cards for fun, it all started. And I believe he was like throwing fuel to the fire. He always gathered people around him and the kids loved him. Extremely strong energy. And even now he has a very warm aura, though he hasn't practiced anything for years after this story. Now, it all started small. We were woken up in the middle of the night by a bloody scream from the middle house, where all the young kids lived. Immediately, we run outside to the kids, and after a few minutes of calming them down, they said that someone was outside hitting the windows. All of them. We're talking about maybe 10 to 12 rooms next to each other and the same amount of windows. Around 3 or 4 of them had broken glass in the corner. And we just couldn't understand how someone could hit all those windows at the same time, shattered some of the glass, and managed to run away without anyone noticing. It was either 10 plus people involved, or otherwise it was physically impossible. Because we were outside in 10 seconds or less, the building is at least 30 to 40 meters long, and there's a huge fence right next to it. So even if it was about 10 people involved, we would have definitely saw them. We calmed the kids down and went back to sleep, thinking we would just deal with it in the morning. But the morning wasn't better at all. We got shaken by screaming again. The girls took the younger groups out to do the morning exercises with them. And out of nowhere, an approximately 3 to 4 meter long snake started to hunt them around the garden. It was damn aggressive and huge. And when I say huge, I mean it was huge, as I said. 2 to 3 times as long as an average person. And it was enormous. So we, the guys together with the head of the camp running around shocked, because in 25 years of management they never seen anything like that, the decision was made on the spot to get rid of the snake because it was refusing to calm down and was trying to attack the kids. Only the small ones. It didn't give a flying F about us grown-ups. So what we then did was get some strong sticks and started to hunt the snake. And finally we managed to pin it down. And for some weird reason, it suddenly just died. We were just holding it down, and the plan was to put it in the van and release it on top of the mountain. But the snake died, probably from stress. And what we did next is low. I regret it now, but then I was 18 and it sounded like a pretty badass idea. So we decided to skin the snake and put the skin on the pole where we had the flag for our group, to encourage the kids to be brave and not be afraid of the forest. I still believe that's when the gates of hell opened up. We made someone or something so angry, I cannot even describe it. The very moment, probably a week later, when the first group of kids went home and we were waiting for the new kids, due to it being the second day of the new shift, basically all kids got their stuff to the buildings, but we had an extra night before they would move in. So after spending the day on preparations and helping parents move the bags in, we decided to go to the girls' dorm where the other girls who worked there resided to have some drinks and fun and play some music.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
This friend of mine was really exhausted, so he went to his bed in our dorm to go to sleep, and he also went with another guy. They were cutting wood most of the day, so we could understand that they were tired. For context, the window of the room in which we were partying in was looking straight at the boys' dorm. There was no way the guys could come outside without us noticing them. There were also automatic lights above the door, so we would immediately notice the lights going off. Also, don't forget we're in the mountains, so signal on the phones or internet is inaccessible. There's no signal. This all started approximately half an hour after the two guys left. First, we heard someone was using the toilet in the end of the corridor. We looked at each other with curiosity. Nobody but us should be in the building. Everyone is in the room. The guys are in the other building, and they cannot come out without us noticing it. Plus, they would have to knock on the window or the main door, because we were locking all doors at all times on key. Now that's important. It was part of our job to make sure that all doors were locked with the key after the sun was down. With or without kids, the doors had to be locked. So we got a bit tense, but didn't hear anything for about 5 minutes and went back to chatting. 10 minutes would pass, and the girls literally screamed when someone very fast knocked on the door to the room. and then they tried to push down the handle. I jumped to the door literally 5 seconds later and fell on my arse when there was nobody. We run out to the corridor, check all the rooms, nothing. Windows locked, door locked on key, and plus the key is with us in the room. This was the moment when we all started taking it very seriously. We sat for a minute, thinking about what had just happened, and there was absolute silence in the room. Four girls and me with another guy. And then the silence got abruptly disturbed by a knock on the window. Just one heavy knock. Like someone slapped his palm on the window and left it there. I immediately jumped there, waiting to see one of the guys, thinking we might have missed them coming outside because we were busy checking the rooms. But there wasn't anyone. Anyway, I got a very uncomfortable feeling that someone is watching me from outside, and I could see the whole garden in the middle, the forest to the right over the fence, and if I really pushed my face to the window, I could even see the door handle to the building we've been in. And trust me, there was no living person. I gave a voice to my concerns about being watched, and one of the girls came next to me to look outside. And that was the moment I almost got deaf. She started screaming, "Who are those people?" on top of her lungs. We calmed her down as much as we could and asked to tell us what she sees. She said there's a lot of people standing outside the building, all of them looking at us. But she could not see the faces because it was around midnight at that point and it was really dark. She said she could see their heads turned into our direction and they were just standing there. I asked her to count them, but every time she reached around 20 to 25, she started crying and having a meltdown from fear. She would say that there was at least 50 plus of them outside, and while none of us could see anyone, she did. Remember how someone knocked on the door of the room and we couldn't find anything in the building, even after checking all doors and windows? Well, suddenly, the main entrance door that was checked 15 minutes ago, made sure by six people that it was locked with a key and the key was in the room with us on the counter, started erratically, with crazy aggression, open and close. Someone was opening wide a door that was locked with a key and slamming it with power that was enough to shake the whole building. It was at this point that even I was screaming. And after approximately a minute of suffering from this unexplained phenomena, me and the other guy ran to the entrance to see what was happening. And as soon as we got there, the sound had stopped. And you probably guessed already, but the door was locked with a key, and the two of us couldn't even force it open. We were in shock, to say the least. And this was the moment when we decided to seek help from outside. Thankfully, we had signal. Very weak, but it was enough to try to call over my friend. In my head, he was probably the most experienced person in this world, and we had the hope that he would know what to do. We called probably 30 times in a span of an hour, and there was no answer. In the meantime, the people that the girl had saw were still outside, according to her. And she was seriously freaking out with the other girls while we tried to reach my friend. Unfortunately, we couldn't reach him. Eventually, after another 20 minutes, the girl said that she had seen the people outside walking away to the forest, just going through the fence like it's not there. Even for us grown-ups, it was hard to climb that fence. It was really high, and she said they just went right through it. Now here's the fun part. In the morning, when the sun finally came up, and we got brave enough to go outside and get my buddy, he told us a crazy story on his own. Apparently, he had got up to get some water around 1 a.m. in the morning. He looked outside the window to check if we were still up. And apparently, he saw me in the window waving to him and showing a thumbs up. This never happened. Also, he would see the calls in the morning. But at the times we called, he claimed that he never received one. And then he said he had went back to sleep, just to wake up 30 minutes later from something. He said he had sat up in his bed, looked out the window, and saw his grandma on the other side. She would tell him to go back to sleep, because he could not go outside now, and his friends were going to be fine. She will look after them. He thought it was a dream and just went back to sleep. But that was approximately around the time when the girl said that they started to walk away to the forest. Also, the phone of my buddy was found in the morning in the middle of the garden, while he claimed to have never left the room and remember checking his phone when he woke up the first time. So he had had it. Also, he said he had a strong desire to come to us when he first got up, but he saw me in the window, my thumbs up, and decided to stay, believing we were fine. When we put together the stories in the morning, we got our first white strands of hair. My friend said we had to apologize. So the next night, me and him went up to the forest. He made a small fire, we burnt some herbs, and loudly apologized to anything we disturbed by our actions. After that, nothing really happened. Some shadows in the forest here and there, some weird sounds in the night, but nothing like before. Apparently, the camp was built on the site of a former tuberculosis hospital from the 1960s, where many patients had died. Given Ukraine's ongoing struggle with tuberculosis, ranking fourth in TB incidents in the WHO European region, and fifth globally in confirmed cases of extensively drug-resistant TB, it's not surprising that a tuberculosis hospital in the 1960s would have seen so many deaths. During that era, effective TB treatments were still in development. The first-line drugs used today weren't widely available or as effective. In the 1960s, TB patients often had to stay in hospitals for extended periods of time, sometimes even more than a year, due to the lack of effective treatments. This long-term confinement and high mortality rate could have left a strong imprint on the location. The numerous figures seen by one of the counselors could potentially be the spirits of former TB patients who died at the hospital. Then there was a theory that the counselors in this story encountered a group of djinn, whom are believed to be creatures created by Allah from smokeless fire, just as humans were created from clay. They are invisible to humans under normal circumstances, but can assume various forms. Djinn are thought to inhabit a parallel dimension to humans, existing alongside us but unseen. In the context of Ukraine, the forest spirit similar to the group of djinn is known as Leshy, which bears similarities to djinn in its ability to shapeshift, interact with humans, and potentially cause disorientation or mental instability in those who encounter it. Anyways, I'd love to hear what you all think of this true story, and I really appreciate the person who wrote this story up and allowed me to read it on the podcast. And also, he had drew a whole outline of what the whole campground looks like, just in case what we were saying in the story was hard to put together. You'll see a room where they were standing, you'll see the room where the friend was sleeping in, and you'll also see the small garden where all the people were standing outside. And you'll also see the outline of the entire camp, so make sure you check that out. I'll place the link to this picture inside of the description of this episode. Anyways, I hope you all enjoyed this story, and as always, be safe out there. And until next time.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.